Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to the first episode of Spark Your Fire for 2020. I'm your host, David Shee, pumped and ready to get back into more content. And likewise, I know Jazz on the other side of Melbourne is also the same. Jazz, welcome back into 2020.
Happy New Year, David, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. How have you been, David? How was the New Year?
It was great, mate. It's it's one of those quiet times where you can spend some quality time with friends and families. Some of my clients and listeners will probably know I've been to Adelaide for the last couple of days. Had a bit of fun, visited a couple of my clients, and we really enjoyed it. I think it was a great town to visit, really. And I do like the city, and I like to go back at some point in time again. How was yours, Jazz?
I think one of the last episodes that we did was on our investment property in Adelaide. I must have really convinced you that Adelaide is the place. So that's why the holiday was in Adelaide.
I didn't get a chance to check out property, though. That's the only thing that I wasn't happy about. But anyway, there's always next time.
We went out glamping Phillip Island. So that was really good. Right next to the beach. Good for the kids as well. So they enjoy their time, play soccer ball, footy, swim on the beach and all that stuff. So that was really good. Had good fun. Yeah. Hope everyone was safe during the fires. None of our listeners, family, friends have been affected. So hope everyone's super safe. Yeah. That was really sad to see Australia burning down.
I know. This year's especially bad, isn't it? From memory, because I don't think we've seen as disastrous and out of control like this. They call it mega fire. Yeah. I think from memory, when the New South Wales and the Victoria fire got together across the border, that became a mega fire. The sky was basically looking like it's red, and the sun was red.
It was smoky outside, like smoky as. For the last couple of days since. But the good thing is we had rain yesterday, so that's good. Get up things, which is awesome.
We're never so happy to see rain. That's put it that way. I don't know how dry it has been throughout Sydney, but we were desperate to get some rain. And I'm sure the firefighters were relieved to see that it was finally started to rain and the temperature started to drop down. Yeah, well, our hopes are with the families that did get hit. And, there's been a lot of organizations and charities that's been helping and getting the repair work up and running. So we all need to support each other around this time. So don't be afraid to reach out.
So we had some really good guests lined up last year, which was awesome. Some really good feedback that came through, a lot of learning exercise for us. 2020, property seems to be the game in the town. Numbers are looking good. We saw that there's a first homeowners low deposit scheme that came out as well.
Yep.
And that's our chapter for today, the first homeowners low deposit scheme.
Yeah, I reckon it's worth discussing a little bit and share the knowledge. So this episode will probably be more geared towards first home buyers looking into getting into properties anywhere in Australia. And the beauty of that is I think apart from CBA, who's the lender that already opened up for the reservation, the rest of the lenders have yet to open up for reservation yet. They will start from 1st of February. So this is actually a good time for us to be able to discuss a little bit, share the knowledge, get people aware of what's going on and how it works, eligibility-wise side of things. And if anyone is intending to obviously use the scheme, then they know what to do.
Sure. So let's start with this, David. What is first homeowners low deposit scheme for our listeners, especially the first home buyers who are thinking of getting a home? What is it exactly and how should they go about it, I guess?
Yeah, so I think at a very high level, it's a scheme that helps those people who wants to be able to get into their first home with as little as 5% deposit. Okay, so in this case, the government basically act as the guarantee. for that 15%, and also they allow them to waive the lender mortgage insurance, or LDP, the low deposit. I think I can't remember what the P is, but anyway, yeah. So like the lender mortgage insurance, which usually occurs when you go over 80% LVR, the loan to value ratio, right? So in this case, then you know that can get waived. Because the government is acting as the guarantee, and therefore people only need as low as or as little as only 5% of the property price, and they if they apply through the applied loan through the First Home Loan Deposit Scheme, which is FHLDS, it's a bit of a mouthful, but anyway, yeah. So and then they will be eligible to be able to just say, for example, only need 5% and be able to purchase their property. Yeah. Keep in mind though, there's only about 10,000 per financial year. So there's only so it's not like every it's not unlimited. There's only first in first serve, only 10,000 seats for those who reserve.
Mm-hmm. So. Just to either I'm wrong or to correct you, the LMI is actually, they still charge LMI, but it's a reduced amount. You get a discount on it, isn't it? Or they waive it off? Are they waiving it off?
No, I think it's waived. I think it's waived.
Right. Well, that's pretty good. If the LMI is completely waived off, that is really good, because that, especially if you're buying a property worth 600K or half a mil, that adds up pretty quickly, and if it's being waived completely, that's gold.
Yep.
Yeah. And from what I understand, obviously you got to be an Australian citizen or a permanent resident to get this, and above 18 years, pretty standard.
That's right.
I think I've got the document open, David, in front of me. It says the income, from an income perspective, it's got to be, for a single person, the taxable income should be 125,000 up to 125,000.
That's right.
Yep. For the previous financial year.
Correct.
And with couples, it's going to be up to 200K, basically.
Yes. So it's targeted to help low to medium income earners in that sense. And, yeah.
And when does it actually get started? It started from 1st Jan, right?
Correct. It starts from 1st Jan. But again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, some of the lenders have actually not opened up the reservation yet. Yep. I think CBA is the only one that has actually opened up. And the remaining lenders, you can find a list of lenders if you're interested online. Just type in FHLDS lender list. And I think there's a whole heap of lenders that release officially, which will be available for you to go through your broker to reserve a spot from 1st of February 2020.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. And with the type of property, is any kind of property allowed under this scheme, or is it going to be a house or a townhouse kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think they're fairly lenient on this side of things. They do allow any existing house, townhouse, apartments, house and land package even, and off the plan too. So, you know, so I think fairly broad range of residential properties pretty much fit into this scheme. And, you know, I think the underlying idea is the Australian government wants to help the first home buyer, so they don't want to restrict the type of properties in order for them to be able to live in. So as long as it's reasonable properties and livable, then yeah.
As long as it's residential and it's
residential, correct, yeah.
It's a livable property, they'll look at it. Now, am I right in saying, David, that there are some postcodes that might be restricted?
Look, I think definitely depending on the lender policy side of things, there will be postcode restrictions, that's for sure. I guess in terms of, you know, some of the, we should just say it really comes down to specifics of the lender policy. So it's worth getting your broker to check if you are looking at purchasing certain postcodes, whether there are any limitations on what you should, what can qualify for this scheme or not. But at a very high level, I think each state and capital cities does have a price threshold as well. Is that right, Jazz?
Yeah, there is. But just on the postcode, I just did a search in the document for the postcode.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there is, you can look up whether your postcode is eligible or not. And
okay. So there's a site. Their site does allow that.
And the website is www.postcode.com. nhfic.gov.au. So you can go to this website. You'll find an option for a postcode. They put in the postcode, and you should be able to see whether this suburb is or that suburb is eligible or not.
But we should probably put that into the link.
We'll probably upload these documents as well. And just to your question, David, I was looking at the thresholds on the price as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're right on that. Each state has got a threshold. Mm-hmm. New South Wales has got, I think the limit is 700,000 for the capital city and the regional centres.
Yep.
And the rest of the New South Wales state is 450K.
Yeah, 700.
Yeah. Can you get much these days, actually?
Not much, mate. Let me tell you, not much. Unless you go to the fringe or you buy a one-bedder.
But without getting distracted, Victoria, the threshold is 600K. And for the rest of the state, I mean, that's the capital city. And the rest of the state, which is the regional side, it's 375K.
So what can you get in 600 in Melbourne?
Same thing. You got to be on the fringes.
Yeah, it'll be fringes.
Down towards Pakenham, Frankston, Lillard, those areas. Queensland for the capital city and the regional centres, it's 475K, and the rest of the state is 400K. WA, 400K for the capital city, and the rest of the state is 300K. South Australia is actually pretty good, 400K for the capital city and 250K for the rest of the state.
I do think Adelaide is the biggest winner here. 400K is a very decent property.
Yeah, that's a good budget.
Yeah, that's a good budget. Whereas WA Perth is a bit of a interesting one.
Yeah, and the same for Tassie. Tassie 400K, and the rest of the state, which is not capital city, 300K. So yeah, we'll check this document out. But there are thresholds on the prices, and there are restrictions on the postcode surely that apply. What else is there in this scheme that the customers or the clients need to be aware of, David?
Look, I think so obviously some very some sensible things to do. You must be wanting to move into the place as an owner occupier in order to be eligible. So you have to have the intention to do that. So that's one of the eligibility as well. And the applicants must be a first home buyer who have not previously owned or had an interest in a residential property at all. Okay. Yep. So, for example, you and me, then we wouldn't be qualified to be able to do so.
And is there any time frame on how long do you need to live in the property for before you can rent it out or make it an investment property and still get the grant?
Yeah, I don't think it states on here, to be honest. That's a good question because I don't know. But just that actually is a good point because I know one of the frequently asked questions talks about if just assume that, say, for example, you bought a home using the FHLDS, using the scheme, you lived in there, and 2 years down the track, your life situation changes and now you no longer want to live in there. You want to move out and maybe upgrade to a bigger property and you want to turn this one into an investment. Now, just so for our listeners, you need to be aware of that. If the customer or if the person no longer lives in the property and rents it out, then essentially the government guarantee, which is what they call a loan guarantee certificate, will be revoked or cancelled. So right. At that point in time, any kind of fees associated with the low deposit loan, which is the FHLDS, will apply. So things such as what we talked about earlier, the lender mortgage insurance, which initially didn't have to pay, now it's going to get added back up. And so, you know, that might be a bit of a shocker for someone who wasn't expecting that. So I thought it's worth pointing out for people who's wanting to use the scheme, you need to be aware of that if you do move out later on, you might be hit with a bit of a fine or, you know, a bit of unnecessary cost. Yeah. So
basically just a little bit of things to be careful of. It's good to ask your broker to have a look at the document, or, I mean, most of the brokers will already know it who are dealing with the first home buyers. Otherwise, just checking the document to see whether you are eligible and what the conditions are, because there's few things that are mentioned in the document. But the positive is at least you only need to come up with a 5% genuine savings, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So you do still need to fulfill the 5%, the genuine savings policy, which is you need to hold that 5% genuine savings in your account for a minimum of 3 months. So it can't be just, you know, someone gives you a 50K and then chuck it in and you want to buy a first home tomorrow. That's not going to fit the genuine saving policy. So just need to keep that in mind.
Definitely. Outside of that, I mean, it's pretty much standard. It gets, in terms of applying for this, it gets applied at the same time when you submit the application or within 10 days, I think it has to be applied for.
Yeah, so I guess the flow here is that's just because you know, we're both qualified with CBA, and I think they gave us the detailed instructions on how to apply. So, you know, we'll use CBA as an example, but obviously each lender will subsequently release their own process as such. But how you currently reserve the scheme with CBA is that you've got up to 10 days. So when you initially submit the scheme for reservation, a broker will be able to do that for you. There will be a form that a broker will submit on your behalf. And then from 10 days onwards, from the initial scheme place reservation, in other words, when you got the reservation, you got 10 days to submit the application and to get approved conditionally. So, you know, you need to get your pre-approval within that first 10 days. Otherwise, you will lose that reservation and you need to resubmit again. Okay. So that's stage one. Once you got that reservation, you got confirmation to say, yes, we got a place for you. Now you need to submit your application in the next 10 days. Now, when you submit the application and then CBA assess it and they go, yep, no problem, we'll give you pre-approval. Now you're ready to find a property. From that point onwards, you got 90 days from the pre-approval application date, okay, in order to find a property and also turn the reservation into the next stage.
Right. Yeah. So that's a really important point. 90 days.
That's right.
10 days of these. So that's the flow of it, basically.
Yeah, that's the flow of it. And then from that point onwards, so once you're able to turn the pre-approval into formal approval, at the formal approval time, that's when CBA can apply for the scheme guarantee certificate. So that's the certificate that I talked about earlier for the loan. So that certificate needs to go with the loan in order to say this loan is tied to first home loan deposit scheme and in order to qualify for the OMI waivers and all the benefits. Okay. Yep. And then from that point onwards, from the issuance of the loan guarantee certificate, you then have up to 100 days to settle the property.
Yeah.
Or to settle the loan. Okay. So that's basically from formal approval till loan settlement, you got up to 100 days to be able to settle in order to still use the loan guarantee certificate that's being issued to you.
Yeah. Now, if you're not able to meet any of these deadlines, that basically means that you have to resubmit the application, right?
Well, you actually have to you had to resubmit the reservation.
Yep.
So that's basically say if the reservation has expired, then the process will need to start again. So don't forget, there's only 10,000 allocations. So, and that changes all the time, right? Some people may give up, some people may not use it. So, you know, if one of your reservation expired, then your broker will need to resubmit that for you. And then at that point in time, depending on the availability of the scheme and the allocation, you may have to wait, or, you know, you might be lucky to get another one.
I'm wondering if they have got a counter somewhere that tells you how many seats are left or reservations are left, basically.
It would be good to have, isn't it, Jazz? It's a great idea. Except I don't know whether Australia's advanced is like that. I would love it to be real time.
at least they have taken the first step, which is good. Now, but I don't think there is any real time, so it's a matter of submitting that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it won't surprise at all if within the first few months those 10,000. Are gone. So anyone?
Yeah, I think from memory, CBA and NAB holds 5,000 out of the 10K, and the rest of the smaller lenders get a share of the rest of the 5,000. Now, just spoke to my CBA BDM the other day. I think a lot of the 5,000 that CBA and NAB has so far has already been taken up. So because it is on a first in, first serve purpose, and you know, like I think people would definitely want to rush in to try to get them. So you know, if you do want it, check with your broker. You got to act fast.
Yeah, especially with the prices moving as well, the property prices moving for the last couple of months. So won't surprise if they're gone within the first 2 months at all. Yeah,
totally.
That's good. That's good for first home buyers. Hopefully you guys are able to take use of the scheme and secure a good property. Anything else, David, from the scheme that we need to cover, or that gives them a decent picture?
I think there's one, actually, I think there might be a quirky, another quirky one that I thought I'll share with our listeners. So, you know how we talked about the income assessment, right, beforehand? The eligibility criteria is that if your taxable income is up to 125K per annum, and that's based on the financial year preceding the current financial year. Okay, so in other words, we're looking at the notice of assessment from last year to say, okay, well, in this case, let's just say, for example, I've got my current income is greater than 130,000, okay, but my last year's notice of assessment is less than 125K. In this case, Jazz, what do you think? Are you eligible or are you not eligible?
I will say I am eligible.
Very good. Yes, indeed. So they don't look at your current income. They look at what you earned last year. So based on your NOA last year, if that's less than 125K for single, or if combined together with your spouse is less than $200,000, then yes, you will meet their eligibility, subject to obviously other checks that they need to do. Okay. Yeah. But the key here is, you know, don't be discouraged if you're currently on over 125K, because if last year's NOA still shows less than 125, you may be eligible. So,
And I guess the reason they have done it this way is to keep things simple. Till the financial year closes, you don't know what your income is going to be. I mean, in some cases, it's pretty obvious if it's a PA, simple POIG applicant, but still, I mean, you can lose your job, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things can happen on the way. So to keep things simple, they've done it this way, which makes perfect sense. So that's good. That's good to cover that one as well. So it's really good, man. That's a good start to the year for the first home buyers at least. And I'm pretty sure investors are going to be very active this year with the some of the movements that we have seen in the rate cuts last year and the numbers that are showing up, the sales numbers, which is all positive.
That's right, yeah. So I reckon 2020 will be another exciting year for property, given that what we've seen last 6 months. The auction clearance rates obviously dropped off during Christmas period, but they'll ramp it up again, given the competition is still fierce. And I think the main thing is because the supply is very, very low. What I'm seeing is, you know, there's a lot of demand to purchase, but not a lot of people wanting to sell.
That's good. And we will try and bring a lot more fresh faces, guests on the show this year. So over the next couple of months, hopefully we'll have some good lineup for our listeners to learn some new stuff, some new tricks in the space, whether you're a first home buyer or an investor. And we'll keep sharing the investor stories as well.
That's right.
Which is good. But for today, that's pretty much it.
I think 2020 is going to be an interesting year. If you are, if any of you listening who's got a story to share, like you know, you've seen how it works last year. Jazz and I basically being very open. We would love to chat to people about their stories and share with our listeners about what they learned. Then you know, just drop us an email. And then we'll be more than happy to have you on see how we can see what your experience and our experiences can actually help benefit more people in their property journey. That's the whole idea why we started to Spark Your Fire.
Surely, if there is any story to be shared which will benefit the listeners, we'll be more than happy to have a discussion around that. And we always get emails, feedback on that anyway. So more than happy to. But to our listeners, hope you guys are enjoying the content. Welcome to 2020. I'm sure this is going to be the year of property. And hope you guys are enjoying the content. And if you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Podbean, or whatever app you're using. And we will see you guys next time. Jazz and David. Bye.
Bye.